Well, we're in Psalm 34, as you heard. And this is a psalm. About a year ago-ish, we looked at this psalm as well. And I was thinking this last week about praising. And until next Sunday's Father's Day, we'll probably do something on Father's Day. Then we have a July 4th weekend right around the corner. You might remember we said July 5th. We're going to do another smoked brisket, potluck lunch, bring all your stuff, and we're going to bring some smoked brisket, my own secret recipe. We'll have hopefully some brisket that day too. So we're doing psalms. In this little window of time here, we're going to do some psalms. I thought a great psalm of praise is Psalm 34. And the backstory of this psalm, as many of you are probably aware, is in 1 Samuel-ish 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, somewhere in that window there. David was being chased by Saul. King Saul wanted to kill David. It was a jealousy. David had risen to fame. Saul said, I don't like him. An evil spirit came over Saul. I'm going to kill him. I think in 1 Samuel 23, it said that Saul had 3,000 of his elite soldiers scouring the land looking for David to kill him. David is on the run. David is running from King Saul and from the 3,000 elite soldiers. He goes to a city called Nob. He goes where the temple is. He tells the people there at the synagogue, I need the temple there. I need some food. The priest said, the only thing we have are these 5 showbreads that are only for the priest. David said, well, me and my men are hungry. We're consecrated. The priest had asked him, what are you doing here? Where's your entourage? You're David. He said, well, we're on a secret mission, you see. So he's lying. He said, we're on a secret mission, and so we don't want anyone to know what we're doing here. So give us some bread, and do you have any weapons? And the priest said, well, the only weapon we have, of all weapons they had, does anyone know the weapon that was there? The sword of Goliath. They said, well, the Goliath that you killed, Goliath of Gath, when you killed him, we have the sword here. And he said, give me that sword. What do you need it for? Secret mission from the king. And David goes then, he flees as those people are chasing David and his men. Guess where he flees with the sword of Goliath? He flees to Gath, to the king, Achish. And he goes to Achish and he's worried now. He says, I'm in big trouble. I've got the king of Israel with 3,000 elite soldiers trying to kill me. I've got the sword of Goliath. I come into Goliath of Gath. I come into his hometown with the sword. The people are like, oh, you're that guy that killed Goliath, and now you're, you know, sticking our faces, you know, in that sword, and you're kind of really causing trouble with that sword. And the king says, bring him in here. And David feigns madness. You'll see, I would suspect every translation has a superscription over Psalm 34. And mine says, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech. Abimelech's his title. Achish is his name. Abi is father and Melech is king. So Abimelech from Hebrew to English would mean my father, the king. So that's a title. Achish is his name. It says, he pretended to be mad before Abimelech, who drove him away, and David departed. So David goes in, they grab David, they bring him to the king. David, if you read that in 1 Samuel, starts spitting up on his beard. He's got spittle in his mouth. He's acting crazy. Does sometime the world do that to you, maybe? Make you a little crazy? Well, he pretends to be crazy. He says, my only hope is that the king says, I have no value, I'm not worth anything, he lets me go. I mentioned that story a few weeks ago about, I'm not going to say his name because we're recording, he's still in Lebanon, he's a missionary there. You might remember the 80s, there was a guy abducted called Terry Waite in Lebanon. This guy, who I won't mention his name, Kelly, our family was there, and Kelly knows him too, his family. I'll tell you, there's a guy, I'm not going to say his name because we're recording, and he's still there. We went to their house on a Sunday with chicken. I said earlier in our prayer how blessed we are as a nation. We had bought some chicken, went to their home. They were almost in tears saying, we don't get meat. Yeah, over a chicken, you know, some chicken pieces. They were like, man, meat, if we get meat, it is phenomenal that we get meat. It's 2 or 3 times a year maybe. You know how blessed we are? Yeah, anyway. But anyway, he said he was abducted at the same time as Terry Waite was abducted. And I mentioned this story a few months ago where they said they had him in a room. They put a bag on his head. Punch him in the face, much like with Jesus, take the bag, because he was a Christian. They take the bag off. He's from, I don't even want to say where the country he's from. But anyway, they took the bag off his head. Who punched you? Put the bag back on. They knocked one of his teeth out, took the bag off. Who punched you? He said, every time they punched me and beat me, they took the bag off. I'd say, Jesus loves you. My Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And they said, either this guy is really from God and we should be scared, or he's crazy. Who would do that after a beating and just keep saying, I love you, Jesus loves you, I love you, Jesus loves you? And he said they tied him up, put a bag, took him in a van, took him to Beirut, opened the doors, pushed him out. And so he wasn't held long time with Terry Waite, but he was held at the same time as Terry Waite back in the 80s. But this, he didn't feign madness, he feigned Jesus loves you. But the point was, they said, if he's crazy, there's nothing to do to a crazy person but get rid of him. We see David here. David went in and said, I'm crazy. And so the king says of Gath, says, there's nothing to do with this guy but turn him loose. So they told David, get away from us. We don't want to deal with you. David leaves there with his men. He goes to the caves of Adullam. He's in a cave, and he sits down, and he writes this psalm. He's got 3,000 elite troops chasing him. The king, Saul, was after him. King Achish was after him till he pretended he was crazy, looked like a fool in front of his men. He's sitting in a cave. And David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Can we say that? We need to say it. When you see the backstop, the backdrop, the backstory of this passage, the pressures he was under, he's responsible for these men with him. The kingdom of Israel is out to kill him. He's on the run. No food. They got 5 loaves of bread for 30 men-ish, 30-ish. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. It doesn't matter what's happening. I'm going to praise Jesus. I'm going to praise the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Folks, can we, again, I don't know that I can say the same thing. There's things that happen that there's a window of time. We briefly talked about in Bible study today that sometimes we don't praise the Lord. We get focused on what's happening around us and we quit praising the Lord because of things. When things happen, is the Lord still worthy of praise? Absolutely is the correct answer. And we got to remind ourselves sometimes, absolutely, no matter what's happening, the Lord is worthy to be praised. True worshipers worship and invite others to worship alongside of them or with them. Verse 1, we worship in all circumstances. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Doesn't matter what's happening. The Lord is worthy of, to be blessed and to be praised. I will worship, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. At all times, I'm going to be praising the Lord. He says, and those words of praise will be in my mouth. I will worship him verbally. I will express the worship. The worship is going to come up within me so strong, so emotionally, so joyfully. It is going to flow up out of my heart and into my mouth, and it's going to come out. What is the content? What comes out of the mouth? What's the mouth overflow? Heart. What's in the heart? The mouth speaks the overflow of the heart. So when you see someone saying, I'm going to praise Jesus, what happened here? I don't care. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. He has saved me. You know our Father in heaven? He is always holy. He is always just. He is always righteous. He is always correct. He is always a loving Father. He is always merciful. And we're going to say, well, I've got some problems going on over here, so I'm going to quit praising him because I got some troubles over here. Far be it from us to take that attitude. I know what happens. We're people. We've got to push our minds, and more importantly, our hearts, to say, I don't care what's going on, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually, constantly, be overflowing out of my heart, out of my mouth, verbally praising him. The Bible tells us the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. If you say, well, I don't feel like the Lord's around today, well, are you praising him? Because if you're praising him, he'll be around. He inhabits the praise of his people. So if you say he's not around, I don't know if I ever said to this, a lot of times I'm in the prison systems, I'll tell people, what's the Lord talking to you today? Well, the Lord's not speaking to me today. Oh, he's speaking. We have a God that speaks. So if you tell me he's not speaking, he's speaking, you're not listening. Start praising him, start listening. Lord, what are you telling me today? What are you saying to me? What would you have me do? I'm going to praise you no matter what's going on. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. David could boast about a lot of things. David could have went into Gath with that sword. Hey, I'm the one that killed Goliath. Remember when the whole Israeli army was up in the mountain, and in the valley, Goliath came out, and the whole Assyrian army was over here, and they were ridiculing, and Goliath came out and said, send a champion down. Remember when I was just a boy 20 years ago, and I went down there, and I cut his head off? Do you remember that? That was me. That's not what he says here, though. Hey, do you remember when Saul killed his hundreds, but I killed my thousands? Remember I'd go into the towns of Israel, and the people would celebrate me and cheer me and say how great and wonderful I am? By human standards, David could have boasted in a lot of things about David. But here's what he does say. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. If I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about Jesus. If we're going to say anything, I was at a deal this last week, and some people were, I don't want to say the word praising, but they were, Dale, thank you. And I was, no, do not. You thank him. You praise Jesus. You praise the Lord. Do not praise me. I am not worthy of praise. He is worthy of praise, and he alone is worthy of praise. The humble, then David says, the humble, sometimes David says when he's talking about God's people, he calls them the humble. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. You know we're supposed to walk humbly with our Lord? Yes. Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly. As people of God, we should be a humble people. We should not ever boast about ourselves. If I have anything to boast, I'm going to boast in the Lord. Well, you did this and that. It's because the Lord encouraged me. The Lord helped me. The Lord walked me through that. The Lord got me through that. That's what I'm going to boast in. I will always boast in the Lord. If we love the Lord with all our heart, our mouth will tell others about him. When I hear someone say, well, I love the Lord. I've been saved 30 years. What are you telling people about? Well, I'm a little afraid to tell people about the Lord. You know, I'm not sure what they'll say or what they'll think. I'm telling you, you don't love the Lord enough. If you love the Lord, you'll tell people. It'll be a fire within you. It'll burn within you. You will have to start telling people, I love Jesus. Here's what he did. Here's who I was. Jesus showed up. Here's who I am. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Paul. I got one praiser with me. Come on up, Paul. Praise God. Kat, praise God. Billy, praise God. We're praising God. If you're visiting, that's my daughter, so I wouldn't do that to anyone else. Well, I might do it to someone else, but. And my son-in-law. And I praise God for Billy, and I praise God for my daughter. Yeah, Kat, being here in church. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. Other people around you are going through trouble too. You be that spark that when other people, the Lord's people, the humble, God's people, they're going through difficult times. You know, and I'll say this, and only because Rodalit said it over there. I met Rodalit 15 years ago in TDC prison. I was there doing some teaching. He was there as a guest of Rick Perry, I think, at the time, Governor Rick Perry. And I would tell people, you know, then he stayed in the state of Texas, made him a field minister, his chaplain. So while he was a detainee in prison, his white uniform said, did you get one that said field minister? It said field minister. And he was a chaplain in the system while he was an inmate. The state of Texas said, your job in the state of prison is you are a chaplain. I found that so valuable because if I go in and talk to a guy and say, hey, everything's going to work out. Well, I got a 20-year sentence. Oh, that's fine. I'm going to leave here in an hour and a half and go home with my wife and go out to dinner tonight and have a salad and a steak. Do I make much impact on that guy with, oh, I know what you're going through? But Rodale, who's been there 23 years, he talks to a guy that says, I got a 10-year sentence. Brother, you can get through this. God's got me through 23 years of this. You can get 10. You can make it. It says so much more impact when someone that's there says it than when I say it. I was in a prison one night talking to some guys about business. And I said, they were talking about minimum wage and what's going on in the state. And they wanted to should be paid while they're in prison. And we were talking. And I said, you know, you have infinite value. And one guy says, I have no value. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Tracy Jonakin or what was his name? Or might have been. It wasn't Bowman. It was one of those guys in that first class or two. Again, guys, I'm 62 a month from today. And I didn't take my medicine, so I don't remember the names from 15 years ago. There's about 400 field ministers that I taught in their senior year of graduating before they went out. So I don't remember all of them. But I remember there was field minister in that room. And I told this young African-American man, I said, when you say you have no value, I cannot continue talking until I correct that. You have infinite value. Because the God I serve, the God I worship, he sent his son Jesus to die for you. The perfect, incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ was paid for you. The supreme being of the universe that said, you have value. What did he trade for your soul? He traded his son's life for you. So when you say, I have no value, I can't let that go without correcting it. And I wish I could remember the field minister's name in the class that day. And I said, could you get him in the hall and talk to him? And so they went in the hall. That brother came back in. The field minister, he came in. One brother went out. Two brothers came back in. That other went out in the hall and said, I turned my life over to Christ out in the hall 15 minutes ago. That is the power of God. That is the power of Jesus Christ. That is the power of the gospel message. The blood of Jesus, that's the power in it. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's all quiet in here again. I'm going to praise myself then. Praise God. Praise your name. Hallelujah. And I'm not from a Pentecostal background, by the way. Baptocostal, maybe. David goes, so he says, I'm going to praise God in the midst of this problem. The humble will hear, when they hear what David's been through, and David says, look what I'm going through, and I'm praising the Lord, why aren't you praising the Lord? You should be praising the Lord too. David had more power and pressures and struggles on him than his men did. His men could have said, hey, David, see you later. We're gone. They could have went back home, been done with it. Nothing would have happened. David's still carrying that burden of 3,000 elite soldiers. If you read that in 1 Samuel 23, it says Saul chose 3,000 of his elite soldiers to pursue David. They're special forces looking, combing the land, wanting to kill David and slay him. And David says, when people hear me praising God and what I'm going through, this isn't going to be a pity party here with these 30 men in the cave with me. This is going to be a praise time. We're going to praise the one that is worthy of praise. So that's what verses 2 is saying. The humble will hear of this, and they will be glad. Their fears will leave. You know, if your heart is full of faith, how much room is available for fear when that heart is full of faith?
None.
Zero. But you know, if your heart is full of fear, how much room is there for faith? Those two things will compete in your heart. Are you going to be fearful and miserable and sad and gloomy and depressed? Or are you going to be joyful and glorious and faith-filled Christian praising the Lord? Which is it going to be? I choose to be faith-filled praiser. Yes, there are times Satan will knock you down and you're going to maybe be over here for a little bit. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Do not put your tents up there and build a house and stay there. That will be trouble. Keep going. The Lord will get you through it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I mentioned this again 2 or 3 months ago in a different passage. When you magnify something, you get a little cells, atom, something. You put in her, Kat, what do you call those things? Molecules? She's got her bachelor of science degree, so she knows more than I do about it. But if you get someone a little slide and you put it under a microscope and you look at it, does that microscope make it bigger or does it make it bigger to you? It doesn't change the size of what you're looking at. It becomes bigger in your perception. So no matter what we do, we cannot make God bigger. We can't make him smaller. God is the size he is. He is supreme. But when it says magnify, David is saying, make God bigger to your perception. You look at him, and when you start thinking about him and meditating on him and thinking of his power, his omnipresence, his omniscience, his all knowledge, all knowing, everywhere at once, start thinking of that. Let that God be bigger to you. Magnify him. We can't do anything to make him bigger, but we can make him bigger to us. Our perception can understand more and more. So I want to ask those guys, what is God speaking to you today? What is God talking to you today? And I'm in a prison, and they say, God's not speaking to me. And that's not whether just in the prison. That's out in the free world. Out in the free world, a lot of people. What is God talking to you about today? Well, God's not speaking to me. We got the world's best-selling book that's ever been written, number one seller in the world, that's talking to you. You have the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You have other Christians speaking to you. What do you mean God's not speaking? God's speaking. It's not a lack of God speaking. Genesis 1, and God said, and God said, and God said. One of the first revelations God gives to us, specific revelation, the written word, Genesis 1, chapter 1, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, he revealed himself to us in the very beginning. I am a God that speaks. Do you remember the story with the worshipers of Baal and Elijah? And the Baal worshipers are all over there. And he said, I'll tell you what, put up a big altar, put up the fire, call on your God, tell your God to come down with fire and burn it up. And I'm going to sit over here by myself. And he says, on my altar, I'm going to pour water, put a moat around it, fill that moat up with water, drench it with water. And it says these guys over here, the Baal worshipers, were screaming and calling on their false, lying, demonic gods, send down fire. And Elijah says, maybe your God's sleeping. Scream louder. Wake him up. And it says the prophets of Baal started screaming louder. Let's try to wake our God up. And he says, you know, if you're going to worship a God, don't worship a God that's sleeping or doesn't exist or doesn't speak. And Elijah comes over and says, God, send down fire. And it says the fire descended, licked up that altar. The water turned to vapor. The water was on fire. Which God are you going to serve? The God that speaks and hears his people, or the God over here that there is no God? Don't worship the things of this world. But there are still powers in this world. They've changed their names from Baal and Molech to other names, but they're still gods that will try to pull you away from God. Entertainment, industry, music industry, all kinds of pills and drugs and bottles and all kinds of stuff that those gods of this world try to pull you away from the Lord. Don't give in to them. Magnify the Lord. He says, magnify the Lord with me. Now, beginning, he says, I will bless the Lord, verse 1. My soul, verse 2, shall make its boast. David gets to verse 3, he says, you need to come do this with me. It's not enough that David says, I'm doing it. He goes from I and my to let us, first person plural, let us exalt his name together. I love praising the Lord all week. This time right here, Sunday morning, probably 10:30 to probably noonish or 11:45 is my favorite time of the year. Favorite time of the week. Yeah, and a favorite time of the year. Favorite time of the week, because this time we come together and worship. When I hear Emma's voice, and I'm usually kind of quieter when she's singing, she got a wonderful voice, and Dennis and our praise team, I'm just sitting there. I am the highlight of my week in worship. We're surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ. We're surrounded by music. We're surrounded by praisers. It doesn't get really any better. And I've said this last week, I'll say it again. If you're a Christian and you live in Texas, it doesn't get any better till heaven. This is the best it gets. A Christian Texan. Yeah. And if you can't find reason to praise about that, then your wood is wet. And you need to start praising God and have him call down fire and light your wet, you know, kindling. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. David didn't go out and seek things of the world in this problem. He didn't say, well, I'm going through a hard time, so I need to seek things of the world. I need to seek something that lifts my spirits. He says, I sought the Lord. Folks, when you're in those valleys, seek the Lord. When you're in that trouble and there's trouble times in this world and there's problems in this world, seek the Lord. That's when we seek the Lord. Praise will bring a change in us. The humble will be exalted. The sad will be glad. The downtrodden will be lifted up. Bitter hearts will be sweetened. When we hear praise, we will rejoice. You'll be sitting somewhere miserable. You hear someone praising or singing a song, and next thing you know, your attitude starts changing and shifting. And there's many times I've gone to my knees in prayer, heartbroken, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes later, stood up, maybe with tears in my eyes, rejoicing though. That time with the Lord, you know, Lord, I'm leaving these burdens with you. I'm leaving these cares with you. Will you take them? Here's what the Lord says. Anyone that's weary, anyone that's tired, anyone that needs help, come unto me. And I will give you strength. I will walk alongside of you. My yoke is easy. My burdens are light. Who's looking for light loads? Who's tired of carrying heavy loads of the world? Yeah, you get tired of carrying the loads of this world. Jesus says, you come along, my burden's easy, and I'm not going to put you in a harness. I'm going to put you in a yoke, and a yoke is two. Guess who's next to you? Take my yoke, which is upon you. I'm going to give you a light load, and I'm going to pull it with you. Boy, that is a blessing, huh? So here's your options. Go to the world's problems and carry them by yourself. Go to Jesus, put his yoke on, a light burden, and he'll carry it with you. To me, there's no option here which is a better choice. This is a way better choice. Why do we choose this one? There is no reason to choose going through this world by yourself and carrying his problems by yourself when Jesus is saying, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. The world's a heavy load. The world will give you a heavy burden. Don't pick it up. Leave it. Come to me. My burden is light. It's easy. I'm lowly and I'm humble. Come learn from me. That's a way better deal than what the world offers. The world offers death. Jesus offers life. The world offers pain. Jesus offers comfort. He's the God of all comfort is what the scripture tells us. Don't choose the world. Choose Jesus. I sought the Lord and he heard me. You know, when you cry out, boy, the Lord hears. The Lord hears that prayer. Our youngest daughter's not here today. I know I've told this story one time before, maybe twice. We're in Spain. Our little daughter disappears. She's 2 or 3. We tell the cops. They shut the streets down. They start going door to door in the hotels, checking the hotel rooms. It's shut down the street. Kelly's running down the street. Help, help, I need help. Our daughter's been kidnapped. We've got her. If you don't know, she's with us. I remember going down, just looking around, looking for who's grabbed her and taken, because the cops came and said, oh, she's gone. Little 3 or 4-year-old blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl in Spain, she's gone. You'll never see her again. That's what the cops said. How's that for comfort? I remember falling down on my knees on a city street in, I don't know if we were in Seville or what, and I said, dear God, look, I don't care what you're doing, stop and listen. I know that sounds blasphemous. That's what came out. We got her. Everything's fine. It worked out well. She was upstairs under the bed playing hide and seek and fell asleep. For about 2 or 3 hours, we were beside ourselves. But I'll never forget that. God, look, I don't care what you're doing. Stop and listen. You got to listen to me. And I was as serious as I was. Later, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Man, that sounds blasphemous. Blasphemy was not in my heart when I said it, but please forgive me. Forgive me for those sins if I said that wrong. But I was to my core shaken. And I cried out to the Lord. There was a time, Paul reminded me, July 14th, 1984, I believe it was, I cried out to the Lord, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. And the Lord heard me, and he forgave me. And that has every reason for me to praise him from now till eternity ends. I don't have to wait to get to heaven to praise him. I can start praising him now, right through death, and praise him through death. Praise him for all eternity. I sought the Lord and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. He seeks the Lord. What was David afraid of? Saul? The Assyrian army? Maybe some people in his own group? Has David been betrayed? David's been betrayed by this point, by friends. He's probably got a lot of fears. So when he sought the Lord, his fears were removed. His fears were the king, the problems of this world. When I sought the Lord, the problems of the world were disappeared. That's what that verse certainly is implying, and I'm inferring. He delivered me from all my fears. My fears were in the world. But when I cried out to the Lord, he delivered me from this world. He delivered me from those fears. They that looked to him were radiant. You look to the Lord, you know the story of when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, and he said, Lord, can I see you? And God said, if you see me, you'll kill you. My glory is too much. You'll just get burned like a crisp. And Moses said, please, I want to see you. I've had that prayer. I hope you have. I've had the prayer, Lord, show me more of you. My finite mind can never see the infinite God, but make my mind see a little bit more. Let me understand you more. Let me see more of who, your beauty, your holiness. Let me see more of it. God told Moses, I will let you see more. I'm going to let you see so much that I'm going to have to hide you in a rock. I'm going to have to put you with a Grand Canyon, these big giant rocks. I'm going to put you in a little hole there, and I'm going to run by real quick. I hope that's not blasphemous. I'm going to scoot by. Is that scoot? I don't know if that's the right word. I'm going to pass by. That sounds more holy. I'm going to pass by. Scoot didn't sound right. I'm going to pass by, and in the tail end, you're going to see, after I'm passed by you, I'll let you see the tail end of from behind. You just kind of see the afterglow. And Moses saw a little afterglow of when God walked by, and Moses came down the mountain, and the people said, Moses, you put a veil over your face. Your face is too bright. Your face is shining like a Q-beam right in our face. We can't look at you, Moses. So Moses had to put a veil over his face, and then it opened it up, you know, I guess. And so the people said, we can't see. It's too bright. So this verse here where David says, they looked at him, were radiant. You have a time with the Lord, you become radiant. maybe not physically, but certainly, hopefully, spiritually, and you just start radiating out Jesus. I've said, Lord, my prayer sometimes, Lord, don't let me live my life so people know who I am. Let me live my life so people know who you are. I'm not important. My dad, when he did his funeral, he said in that, when we were working his funeral arrangement, he said, in my funeral, you talk more about Jesus than you talk about me. I'm not important. He is. So you can mention me, but I want more time devoted to talking about Jesus and praising him. There might be someone there that doesn't know Jesus. If they're there, they probably know me, but I would much rather them know Jesus than know me. So at my funeral, you talk about Jesus more than you talk about me. I've never heard that before from anybody. That's what I thought. I said, that's impressive. That's pretty impressive. When I go, I told Kelly, I said, we're talking, you know, who's going to go first? She says, I'm leaving first. I said, well, how do you know? She said, oh, I've got plans. I know. So I didn't like that answer much, but you got plans, you know, a little scary. You know, so I sleep like this. But the same thing. When I go, I want Jesus to talk more about than me. I'm not important. Jesus is important. Well, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm alive, I'm going to be working for Jesus. When I die, I want him spoken about, not me. Talk more about him. And so David says, if you look at him, you're radiant. They that looked at him were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him. You know, crying is an automatic, we come in the world equipped to cry. No one has to teach us people how to cry. People cry all by themselves. And I'm just saying, we come equipped with tears will flow. David says, I cried out. I called out to the Lord and he heard me. Every time a person cries out to God, forgive me, the Lord will hear that prayer. He will always hear his child crying, crawling out to him. I've seen it in the animal world, and I've even seen it in the human world, where you see, you know, 20 head of cattle and 20 calves. One calf is under attack. That you know which mom it is, because that mom of that calf starts making a beeline for that noise. The other cows might look over there. The mom moves to it. People are the same way. I've heard moms say, there could be 30 kids in a classroom or 20 kids. When one cries, when it's mine, I hear my child cry. God's the same way. When his children cry out to him, he hears them. David cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. God encamps, meaning he lives. He sets up tent posts. He builds his tent, his tabernacle with his people. God lives with his people, and he rescues them. What David's asking here is God to be with him. What's another name for Jesus? What's Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel, God is with us. Somehow David looks through 1,000 years of time. David's about 950, 1,000 BC-ish. He looks through 1,000 years of time and says, God lives with his people. God, Emmanuel. God, ultimately, the Father sent his son Jesus, Emmanuel, to live with us. I'm not even why I have notes up here. I'm not really doing them. The heartbreaking and desperate cry of all humanity. I'm telling you, folks, all humanity knows there's a problem with this world. I hear people that are atheists or agnostics. They don't believe in God, or they say there is no God. And something will happen. They'll say, that's not the way things should be. And when they say that, I'll ask them, well, if there's no God, how do you know things shouldn't be this way? And they'll say, well, it's not right. There's something. I said, that's something in you telling you this isn't right. That's God telling you that. In you is written a code from God that says there's something that is the correct way of it, and there's an incorrect way. If there's no God, how do you know that? When an unsaved person or an atheist or an agnostic says, this isn't right, this isn't the way it should be, I would say, you're right, it's not the way it should be. It should be. We're still in the Garden of Eden, walking and talking with the Lord. And that there's no sin, there's no evil, there's no pain. That's the way it should be. So you are right when you say this is the way it should be. But praise God, it can be that way again. No one's promised a good start, but God can promise you a good end. The world is sin. The world is full of sin. The God of this world causes you to sin. Your flesh causes you to sin. But God says there's a better way. That better way, here's the not only a better way, the best way. Here's the way. Jesus said, I am the way. You want to know the best way to live this life? Jesus is the best way. He's not just a better way. He's the best way, and he's the only way. No one goes to heaven. No one goes to the Father but through Jesus. He's the one to cling to. The heartbreaking, desperate cry of all humanity is answered in the birth, death, and praise God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God for his mercy. Worshippers invite others to experience worship with them. Verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see the Lord is good." We were at Papacito's the other night down in Houston, and I looked at that menu and I saw the beef braised enchilada dinner. As good as that picture looked, and it looked good. Someone told me about it, and I said, "We're going to Papacito's." Someone told me that enchilada dinner is good. We're going. Ed, you want to go after church? As good as that picture was, you know when they brought the meal out and I got the knife and fork and ate a bite? You know how much more I like that taste than the picture? The picture was good. So David here is saying, don't just look at the picture. Don't just hear about God. Don't just listen to me talk about God. You personally have an experience with God. You come and taste him. You come and see what he is. Experience what God is. Don't just look at the menu or when you order the food, and it might look good. It is nothing. You give me, you want 1,000 menus or one cheeseburger? I'll take the one cheeseburger every time. What are the 1,000 menus going to do? They look good. It looks good. Being on the periphery of Christendom looks good. Well, I'm going to go to church because the people are nice. I'm going to go to church because I get free donuts and coffee in the morning. I'm going to church. Folks, don't do that. Come to church to worship the true living God, the Savior of the world, the creator of everything, the Savior of our souls. That's why we come to church. Come experience yourself. Come and taste. I tasted that Bavarian cream donut today, and it was good. And as good as it was not near as good as Jesus. Come taste and see. Know for yourself, experientially. Know personally. Have your taste buds and see your eyesight. Listen to him. Blessed is the man who trusts in God. Blessed is that man that trusts in the Lord. And the longer you are with the Lord, the more you see of him, the more magnification you put on him, the bigger it becomes in your perception. You start seeing, man, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Every day gets better. Every day he's a closer friend. Every day I reach out to him more. That song, "I need thee every hour." Someone needs to do an update. "I need thee every second of my life, every breath of my life. I need you. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, fear the Lord, you, his saints. There's no want to those who fear him." This fear, I'm going to say it is fear. You know, if you're around guns or things, I say you should have a healthy respect for them. You don't got to fear them necessarily, like hide from them, I don't think. But a lot of people stumble over this, oh, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord here is talking about, I hope, a holy desire to please God through obedience to his word. Do you have a holy desire? When Satan comes and says, don't do that, come do this. I better not go do that. I better not. I told you last Sunday, talked to a man. He said he was 17. He's, I think, 36, 37 years. Got a murder charge. Said I was going to some way. A couple friends of mine come say, "Hey, we're going out tonight. Come with us." I went with them. 2-3 hours later, I've got a gun in my hand. There's somebody dead. I woke up with no desire that morning to have a gun in my hand, go into a robbery, thinking with a gun in my hand, oh, no one will get hurt. I'm not going to kill anybody. One thing led to another thing is I pulled a trigger and someone's dead. And 30, 40, 60, 60-year sentence. 17-year-old boy. Never crossed my mind what this would lead to. When I woke up that morning, when I had lunch that afternoon I'm watching TV. I think he said he was watching some cartoon. I can't remember. Ren and Stimpy or something, or some cartoon. He said, I had no idea that in 4 or 5 hours I would be a murderer and get a 60-year sentence in TDCJ. Oh, fear the Lord. Fear his word. Thou shalt not murder. He said, I so wish I wouldn't have went with them. I so wish I would have known to stay away from them. I so wish that I had a holy desire to please God through obedience to God. Had I obeyed God, I wouldn't have been there. Had I obeyed God, I wouldn't be here. You might think you can play with sin a little bit. I'm just gonna go out with these buddies of mine. We're just gonna go get a couple dollars, go get some beers and pizzas, you know, 60 years. Folks, it is never, never worth it. You have no idea when you open that door of sin what's on the other side and where it can lead. No idea. Folks, when it says fear, I'm going to stick with the word fear, phobia. I'm going to stick with fear the Lord. Have a healthy, holy desire to please Him and obey His word. You know, if this world would quit chasing the world and start chasing the things of God, you know, we would be, what would the world look like tomorrow morning? If every person said, I'm going to have a holy desire to please the creator of this universe, and I'm going to start obeying His word, we would have a different world like that. That's not going to happen until He returns with that rod of iron. The rod of iron will say, I gave you opportunity to choose to obey, but now I'm going to make you obey. One day, every knee is going to bend. And one day, every tongue will confess, Jesus, You are Lord of all. That is going to happen one day. Until that day, we need to be people that say that today. We don't have to wait till then. We can now. Lord, You are Lord. I'm not. Jesus says it this way. Why do You call Me Lord when You don't obey Me? Lord, Lord. What do You call Me Lord for when You disobey Me for? Lord means I'm Lord. Why do You call Me Lord and then go do Your own thing? I'm not Your Lord. Many will call to Me that day, Lord, Lord, we did all this in Your name. Depart from Me, I never knew You. I don't know who You are. That's serious, folks. This is serious business. Oh, fear the Lord. I hear people, oh, that doesn't mean fear. That just means Jesus is your buddy. Respect Him. Yeah, you better respect Him, but I'm going to go back to old school. I'm going to have a healthy fear of the Lord, a holy desire to obey Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say today, the Lord is my shepherd? What's the next part say? I shall not want. There's no want to those who fear Him. Lord, You're my shepherd. You know, this, I'm going to start wrapping this up. I apologize, we're running just a moment. Not too bad yet. Thank you. There, if you notice, I believe there's 22... verses in this chapter. 22, remember that number. Your trick question. How many letters are in the Hebrew alphabet? Well done, man. Well done. The first, I'm not going to go too far down with this. It's an acrostic. You know, like we would say A is for apple, B is for boy. See, each one of these verses start with the next corresponding letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it's designed so they can learn this and memorize it. They get verse 1 with the Aleph. They get to verse 2 with the Beta. They get to verse C with the Gimel, the Dalet. All the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And they would remember, oh yeah, okay, that's that first word. And they remember to speak it. This was written in a way it could be learned. It's to be, and if you take the, you can do this on your own. The first, the middle, and the last letter make a three-letter consonant in Hebrew that means to learn, to teach. And the Lamed, it's the L, what we would call an L, it's shaped like this. It's actually a shepherd's crook. It's corresponding to a shepherd's crook from the Hebrew alphabet to a shepherd's crook. And what does a shepherd use a crook for? Sometimes you get pulled over, sometimes you get the other end of it. You get, the sheep start learning what to do. So it's very interesting. We don't have time for that today. Maybe we'll do that on a Wednesday night, dig into that side of this a little more. But this is definitely for us to learn from the Lord. To understand this, to teach us these things. And then when it says the Lord, the fear of the Lord is His saints, there's no want to those who fear Him. That took me to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When I learn from the Lord, when He teaches me, that is comforting to me. It kind of, these kind of Psalm 23 and Psalm 34, you could almost merge them a little bit. I won't because the Lord didn't. But you could almost merge them with, boy, they're kind of very, put them together. There's a lot of imagery that we don't see in English that a Hebrew, I think, would see. Oh, that's the Lamed. That's the shepherd's crook. It's saying, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, you saints. There's no want to those who fear Him. the young lions lack and suffer hunger. So a young lion is a strong lion. You know, young, and it says they might be out there trying to do things on their own. They could go hungry. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack for any good thing. You know, the Lord gives his children good gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above, whom there's no turning, no shadow. We can praise the Lord. Just you and me then. Do I need to step over here more? Because I'm telling you, from up here, this side's on fire over here. This side's just kind of cool and cold. Turn the AC off. Put it hotter over here. Let it heat up. Let them get a taste of what they may be headed to if they don't start praising more. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, I'll say it from over here. No. No? Yeah, there's some people over there saying, yeah, turn up the heat a little bit. It's cold over here. But those who seek the Lord shall lack for no good thing. We're going to stop there. We may pick up there. Next Sunday, of course, is Father's Day. We're going to stop there in our today. Oh, there, I got it up on the slide. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. We'll stop there. I've got a few more, but I think that's good for today. Folks, I would encourage you, whether you're here or at home watching or in the future watching, if you don't know Jesus, come see and taste. Taste that he is good. He is a brother that sticks closer than no other. He loves you. He cares for you. He shed his blood for you. There's not much more he can do to demonstrate his love than die for you, which he did. Greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for you. So whether you're here or watching at home or in the future, right now it's so simple. Lord, forgive me a sinner. Something so simple. The word is near in your mouth. Believe in your heart that Jesus was buried, that he died, was buried, and rose again, and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. It's that simple. It's a simple process. If you've said that today, we would love to know that. As our elders come forward, you will have people up here at the front that if you come up here, if you need prayer, they're going to pray with you. Ron and Chris, if you'll come up over here, if they're going to be here. We've got some men and women both up here that if you need prayer, just come up. You can be as candid as you want. Tell them what's going on. If you say, you know what? I just need someone to pray. I just need some prayer right now. That's as simple as it could be. If you don't know Jesus today. Don't leave here without saying, I know that I know that I know. That if I don't get home this afternoon, I know where I'm headed. And you are not promised. I hear people say you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised 1 o'clock. You're not promised anything at all in this world. Don't leave this without knowing Jesus. Make it, if you're not there, make it right today. If you need baptism, you might say, well, I've been saved, but I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. We would invite you to come forward today and share with one of us, I'd like to get baptized. I want to settle that. It's bothered me. I just want to settle it, be done with it, and move forward. We believe very much in the Lord's Supper, which we take two ordinances, the Lord's Supper and a believer's baptism. If you're a believer, and if you've been baptized, fully submerged in a like faith, we invite you to partake communion with us. There's bread and the cup on both sides. Help yourself to either side. If you haven't, then we would ask you not to. No one's going to ask you anything. The Bible says, let each man as he purposes in his heart. Let each man examine himself if he's worthy. You might be a believer and been baptized. You might say, you know what? I've got some things going on that I probably should not take communion today. If that's you, you may want to take the next few minutes, just sit there and pray for yourself. Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, create in me a new heart. Cleanse me, Father. If there's anything before I take communion, enter in this time. Father, if there's anything that I need to be made right, make it right now before I take communion. You might want to have a moment to do that. I'm going to pray. As soon as we finish praying, our praise team is going to come forward. At this time of invitation, you're welcome to come up. For prayer, for salvation, for baptism, for anything you need, we've got men and women up here. We'll be happy to talk to you and help you in any way that we're able. Father, we praise you for Jesus. Father, we exalt your name. Let your praise be continually in our mouths. Father, we thank you for your billions and untold number of blessings you so abundantly pour out on us. Father, if there's someone here today that needs to come to know you, let them come today, Father. Send your spirit to just speak to their heart right now and draw them to the cross. Father, be with us as we leave today. Give us safety till we return again. Father, we're a family here. We thank you. You're a good, good Father, and we praise you. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Come today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.